Good morning and welcome to Christ Church Uniting. I'm Reverend Brittany Alexander, interim minister here at CCU. Thank you for joining us today. I am delighted that you have tuned in to worship with us. As we begin, let us pray. God of the outcast, God of the troublemaker, make us instruments of sacred scheming. Where there is apathy, let us provoke. Where there is too much comfort and too little action, may we agitate. When truth must be spoken, may we find the courage to lift our voices. May we seek opportunities to do justice, rather than to seek opportunities to simply talk about it. Amen. As we continue in our worship, I light a candle for you and for me. A symbol of light in you, of love in you and me that connects us, unites us, and brings us together even though we are apart. I now invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another, either a peace emoji or a heart emoji. We know that the peace of Christ extends beyond virtual space and these screens and these walls. Peace of Christ to you. And now let us join our hearts and voices in our opening hymn.
It is well with my soul. friends. Today we're here to honor the life of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's a very long and beautiful name for a really important person in our nation and our world's history. This is a book. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. It's actually, the words are the very famous I Have a Dream speech, but I wanted to highlight a couple pictures. These are paintings by Kadir Nelson that I think are just a beautiful remembrance of a really important person that devoted his whole life. He was a minister. He was a civil rights or human rights advocate. He went to prison for what he believed, standing up for the rights of all people, especially people that were treated unfairly just because of the color of their skin. Here's a picture of in 1963, when he gave the I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Some of the words that he spoke that day were really important for us today as well. He said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." And that was a message that drove him to, and lots of followers, to create laws that certainly improved how people were treated. But we still have lots of work to do for the economic and racial justice in this nation. And so when we celebrate the holiday that marks his birthday on Monday, let us think about creative ways that we can, even as kids, think about how we can treat each other more fairly and with love and respect, and maybe to stand up and have a strong voice when we see that others are not being treated properly. And so we want to make sure that we are not making assumptions or having beliefs about people just based on their skin color or what they look like. And for that, we need God's help because it's hard. And so please join me in prayer. Dear loving and creative God, thank you for the life of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Help us to follow in his path of justice. Help us to follow in Jesus' path of love and justice. Be with us on this journey. Amen.
Our scripture reading is from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Listen to these words of scripture, and in them, the Spirit's word to you. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now, draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Good morning. We're going to start by reading an excerpt from Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. She is a scientist, a mother, a professor, and also a citizen of the Potawatomi Nation. And this is her version of the story of Sky Woman. In the beginning, there was Sky World. She fell like a maple seed, pirouetting on an autumn breeze. A column of light streamed from a hole in Sky World, marking her path where only darkness had been before. It took her a long time to fall. In fear, or maybe hope, she clutched a bundle tightly in her hand. Hurtling downward, she saw only dark water below. But in that emptiness, there were many eyes gazing up at the sudden shaft of light. They saw there a small object, a mere dust mote in the beam. As it grew closer, they could see that it was a woman, arms outstretched, long black hair billowing behind as she spiraled toward them. The geese nodded at one another and rose together from the water in a wave of goose music. She felt the beat of their wings as they flew beneath to break her fall. Far from the only home she'd ever known, she caught her breath at the warm embrace of soft feathers as they gently carried her downward. And so it began. The geese could not hold the woman above the water for much longer, so they called a council to decide what to do. Resting on their wings, she saw them all gather. Loons, otters, swans, beavers, fish of all kinds. A great turtle floated in their midst and offered his back for her to rest upon. Gratefully, she stepped from the goose wings onto the dome of his shell. The others understood that she needed land for her home and discussed how they might serve her need. The deep divers among them had heard of mud at the bottom of the water and agreed to go find some. Loon dove first, but the distance was too far, and after a long while he surfaced with nothing to show for his efforts. One by one, the other animals offered to help: otter, beaver, sturgeon. But the depth, the darkness, and the pressures were too great for even the strongest of swimmers. They returned gasping for air with their heads ringing. Some did not return at all. Soon, only Little Muskrat was left, the weakest diver of all. He volunteered to go while the others looked on doubtfully. His small legs flailed as he worked his way downward, and he was gone a very long time. They waited and waited for him to return, fearing the worst for their relative. And before long, a stream of bubbles rose with the small, limp body of the muskrat. He had given his life to aid this helpless human. But then the others noticed that his paw was tightly clenched, and when they opened it, there was a small handful of mud. Turtle said, "Here, put it on my back. I will hold it." Sky Woman bent and spread the mud with her hands across the shell of the turtle. Moved by the extraordinary gifts of the animals, she sang in thanksgiving and then began to dance, her feet caressing the earth. The land grew and grew as she danced her thanks from the dab of mud on the turtle's back until the whole earth was made. Not by Sky Woman alone, but from the alchemy of all the animals' gifts, coupled with her deep gratitude. Together, they formed what we know today as Turtle Island, our home. Like any good guest, Sky Woman had not come empty-handed. The bundle was still clutched in her hand. When she toppled from the hole in the sky world, she had reached out to grab onto the tree of life that grew there. In her grasp were branches, fruits and seeds, and all kinds of plants. These she scattered onto the new ground and carefully tended each one until the whole world turned from brown to green. Sunlight streamed through the hole from sky world, allowing the seeds to flourish. Wild grasses, flowers, trees, and medicines spread everywhere. And now that the animals, too, had plenty to eat, many came to live with her on Turtle Island. One of the many things I love about the story of Sky Woman is that collaboration is built into the story of creation. Everyone works together, and together they create a better world, a world that works for everyone. John's story about the wedding at Cana is another revealing along our Epiphany journey. Jesus' mother, Mary, is there, along with Jesus and his newly called disciples. After a while, Mary comes up to Jesus, elbows his ribs. They have no wine. It is easy for me to think of Mary stereotypically here, a mom who is trying to look out for everyone, wants everyone to have a good time, and she notices the party is on its last legs. The wine has run out. Disastrous. How embarrassing. You invite people over for a feast, for a party, and you run out of wine? I'm with Mary on this one. What is a celebration without wine? But it is not just that there is no wine. Wine was a staple beverage in the ancient Near East. It was consumed either full strength or sometimes diluted with water. Wine made the water drinkable. So potentially, if there is no wine, there might not be anything else here to drink. Some scholars have noted that it was customary for guests to bring something to contribute. You are not supposed to come empty-handed. You bring a lei, some poo-poos, some wine, and yet they have no wine. Are these people just here to mooch? Did they only bring a secret stash for themselves? What is this? They have no wine. There is not enough. Not enough. An all too common statement, then and now. There is not enough money. There is not enough food. There is not enough housing. There is not enough water. There is not enough. Debbie Thomas has said that Mary's role is one of naming a need. Mary is naming a reality that is impacting everyone. Whatever the reason, all is not as it could be or ought to be. So Mary instigates, telling her son, "They have no wine. The people are not okay. There's nothing to drink." Jesus responds, "Ma, do I look like the party planner to you? Did you plan this party? Leave it alone." But Mary is undeterred. She tells the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." I can almost see Jesus' body language as she does this. He's somewhat obligated now, right? He could do nothing. He could leave it alone. I like to think that the named need ate at Jesus a little bit. He chooses to do something, and the servers join in. The steward knows nothing of what has happened behind the scenes and makes a statement to the groom. "You exceeded expectations. You saved the best wine for last, and there are at least 20 or 30 gallons of it. There is enough for all. Somewhere between Jesus telling the servers to fill up some jars and the steward tasting the water becomes wine. Somewhere between Mary's instigation and Jesus's yes. Somewhere between disastrous scarcity and sacred scheming, abundance is revealed as the true state of things. The wedding at Cana is not so much about how water mysteriously becomes wine. The wedding at Cana is the revelation that where there is sacred scheming, sacred collaboration, there is always enough. There is enough money, housing, food, resources. Scarcity is not the reality of the world in which we live. The true state of the world is abundance. Unfortunately, our society functions on the lie of scarcity. We are forced into this artificial balance between there is not enough and enough is never enough. We need sacred schemers, instigators bent on toppling the lie of scarcity, to push for the restructuring of resources in a country that is among the wealthiest in the world. The wealthiest in the world, but cannot seem to find enough for its poor, its tired, its hungry, huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Can't find enough for education or healthcare. Can't find enough when we absolutely have enough. I recently watched the Disney film Encanto. I'm afraid I'm going to spoil it for you a little bit, but it's for a good reason, so I hope you will forgive me. Encanto tells the story about La Familia Madrigal, who has been gifted a miracle. And this miracle is in the form of extraordinary gifts. Some can see the future. Some are very strong. Some can heal. As new generations are born and gifted with different abilities, the gifts become the most important thing. One member of the family observes this, Mirabel. She sees that the pressure of the gifts and the pressure to live up to the miracle is overwhelming. She sees that this is not working for everyone. It's not really working for anyone. The family bond is weakening. The miracle is weakening. Mirabel tries and tries to get the family to talk about it, to acknowledge it, to do something about it. But they are either indifferent or angry with her for even bringing it up. The family's current way of life begins to crumble around them, and all of Mirabel's efforts have hastened the crumbling of the world as they know it. The family is forced to face reality. The miracle is over. The gifts are gone. La Familia Madrigal is left with only La Familia and Mirabel, the one who ruined it all. As they begin to rebuild, as they begin to work together, as other families come to help them, the family is finally able to get what Mirabel has been trying to tell them. They had been so caught up in the individual gifts, so caught up in their own reality, that they forgot the true reality. The real gift is each other. The real miracle is La Familia, working together for a world that works for everyone. Let us pray. Gracious God, we recognize that there are ways that we have failed to co-conspire with our siblings in order to work for the good of others and the good of self. For this we ask forgiveness, that we might breathe out our guilt, dust ourselves off, and try again. May we continue to awaken to ways that we can better love ourselves, love others, and love our planet. We remember and pray for Donna Gilcher. She is feeling better, and we hope for safe travels for her. We pray for her son, who has been ill. We pray for healing. We pray for Luca Palisade, who was in a car accident in early January. Luca has brain injury and is unlikely to recover. We ask for comfort for Luca's friends and family. And now, as we pray as we have been taught, with the confidence of the children of God, held in love and in grace, I invite you to use a name for God that feels right to you. This can be Father, Mother, Creator, Divine, or perhaps there is another name of your choosing. I invite you to use it now as we pray. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we come to the table, we are reminded that the table is a place for everyone. A table, we come together and we feast, we break bread, we share love, we discover ways that we can work together for a world that works for everyone. And also, as we come to the table, we are reminded of another table, a table at which Jesus was with his disciples, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he poured it out and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you." And so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my love in the world. Family, the table is set, prepared for you. Enjoy the feast. Amen. At this time, I invite you to prayerfully consider how you might contribute to the work and ministry of CCU. This may be in gifts of service, gifts of time, or gifts of energy. This may be monetary gifts. A link is available for you to donate online. However you choose to contribute, you help CCU continue to do the work that we do in the world. And for that, we thank you. And I would also like to say a part of this might also be providing some beautiful flowers for our altar. That is another way that you can contribute, and they enhance our time together profoundly. Now, please join as we sing our doxology. Thank you. As we conclude our time of worship together, there are a few announcements. First of all, I want to thank Paul Brennan, who provided our flowers today in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Also to let you know that because of the holiday on Monday, the office will be closed. Additionally, we invite you to send any prayer requests to prayers@ccukailua.org. Please let us know what is going on in your lives and how we can help support you and pray with you. We want to support you in whatever way that we can. Another being that we have been virtual again today, your council will be deliberating this week as we consider resuming in-person worship. Please pray with us and for us as we deliberate that. We will be in touch this week via email with an update, so keep an eye out for that. Additionally, Vespers has taken a respite this month, but will resume Friday, February 11th at 7 p.m. And I think that is the announcements for today. So with that, join your hearts and voices again in our closing hymn. As we go out today, may the light of Christ dwell in you richly. May you heed the call to sacred scheming as we seek justice for our communities. May you feel the warmth of connection in knowing that as one body in Christ, we are united and do not go alone. Go in the grace and peace of Christ. Amen.